Good evening. Quite often, so next week is our last class, and quite often we meet for a little bit longer on the last day, but it often also gets confusing, and some people make it and some people don't. So we'll start at the normal time, 7 o'clock, and I will update that on the calendar, and then we might go a little bit longer just to make sure that all questions get answered and everything like that. Tomorrow is Lama Tsongkhapa Day, so that is a holy day, and the center is open all day for prayers if you want to come, and then there's assuming a puja in the evening. Yes, there is. So that's at 7 o'clock at night. All right.
Okay, again, welcome. This is, again, Module 8, Session Number 5. The next session will be our last one. Okay? So with that said, we're going to do a little... Let's do motivation. Remember again, with every practice, we're talking about daily practice. You want to start with a motivation. You want to end with a dedication. Don't forget those two things. It took me a while to get that. In the dedication, I said it 100 times. But somehow, I just want to get into the right things, the main things. And I used to always forget about motivation and doing the right dedication. Then one day it gave us a story, and then I realized, oh my goodness, that it's incomplete if we don't dedicate. And remember, the heart of the practice is bodhicitta, right? Doing something for others, always. You want to have a blissful, wise mind, wisdom full of wisdom, always intended to help others. So therefore, dedication is you're taking everything. It's not me, me, me. Saying, I dedicated. It's a really amazing, once you connect with that, it makes a lot of sense. And you can't do anything without motivation. You can't go to your car till you want to go to your car. Can't open the book till you want to flip the pages. So motivation, absolutely important. So again, get your spine straight. Feet, if you're sitting on a chair, put both feet on the floor. Okay. Take a few deep breaths in and out. Breathe very naturally, in a very relaxed way. Just focus your mind on that breath, in and out. If you have other thoughts that come to your mind, observe them and let them pass. Bring your mind back to your breath. Allow yourself to be completely present for this time, this teaching session. Recognizing that usually our lives are filled with busy activities, simply concerned with survival or the short-term comfort and happiness of life, of this life. Think of 24 hours usually, a third of that time is spent working. A third of that time is spent sleeping. And the remaining time is usually spent doing things like shopping for supplies, food, clothing, preparing, eating or cleaning up the food, washing, or various other busy activities, social engagements, movies, magazines. The percent of our entire life that we actually spend in spiritual practice, making concerted effort, is very, very small. Yet, we have great wishes for what we'd like to accomplish in that arena. So make the determination that since the time that I spend in my spiritual life is very small and usually somewhat distracted, I'll make the best effort I can to listen to these teachings carefully and to try to put them into practice to the best of my ability. Why? Because I don't want to suffer. I want to experience happiness. I have some suspicion that there is greater happiness available, a longer lasting happiness that I could attain. I have some suspicion that I could develop greater wisdom, greater compassion, greater ability to help others. If I check up in my heart, that's what I wish to do. I'm tired of seeing suffering in the world. I'm tired of seeing war. I'm tired of seeing the environment degrade year by year. And I'm tired of seeing people fighting, worn out, aging, and sick. I want to do something to stop all of this. And there must be another way. The Buddha's claim is that he found another way. He identified suffering. He identified the causes. He achieved the end of suffering, and then he revealed the path. I wish to follow that same path, attain that same state, then reveal that method to others. Please invite to this place our teachers and our guides of this life, those who are carrying the lineage of these precious teachings to this present day. Ask them to abide with us and bless our minds for this time as we listen to these teachings on behalf of all living beings. Okay, so I think everybody likes the review sessions, and I think it really, you know, I learned this from Geshe La also. You know, I used to wonder sometimes he repeats something, and it's amazing every time he repeated something, something more clicked in. And I think I like the fact that since this is more about establishing daily practice, people are looking for structure, I hope. You're looking for what should I do? So it's always good to review. What did we start with? Where are we? Because a whole week goes by, and you know, you get into your readings, or you may not, but it's good to kind of put it together. Because I want you to walk away after the sixth session, at least with a firm, you know, kind of confirmation in your own mind that you have some structure, something that you can take away and actually establish in your daily life. Okay? So let's do a review. So again, I think some of this is repetitious, but hopefully it clicks a few more things in it. Okay? So, class number one, we talked about importance of having daily practice, right? We talked about you've gone through, some of you at least have gone through a couple of modules. This is module number 8, and some of you haven't. But the idea that you learn all of these things, you go to the teachings, but now you want to do something about it. So that's why you have the importance of daily practice. Then how all these components come together, and we started with the sentence where rubber hits the road. This is where now you can't just talk. You got to do something about it. Okay? We talked about setting aside some time for daily practice. Then what to do in between sessions, off-cushion and on-cushion. Just a little bit of overview. Then we talked about how to sit in a meditation posture. Okay? 7 or 8 postures that we talk about. You know, your vajra posture, lotus posture, arms, legs, eyes, that kind of stuff. And then we talked about not developing insensitivity to dharma. Okay, sometimes it's like an encyclopedia, new words, new ways of thinking, your mind is racing, comparing, doing all kinds of stuff, and sometimes it just becomes, I kind of know this. I've heard this before. Nothing new. They're really not taking it in yet, but they kind of see it from out there, right? So that's insensitivity. We talked about the leather butter and analogy. Butter and leather meaning your mind and butter meaning your dharma. You know, in Tibet, how they use the butter in the leather pouches. If the pouch gets hardened, the butter doesn't do anything. It just kind of gets very hard with the leather. The idea is to keep it nice and malleable. So you want to keep your mind open. Learn about it. Learn about dharma. We talk about mind and dharma gap. I think this is one of my important ones. Is we somehow have this gap. Dharma is like this books and prayers out there that we do on Sunday, and we come to some teachings. But then the rest of the day, right? The rest of the week is go to work and do your things and things we talked about, eating, shopping, doing whatever we do, right? But you want to incorporate dharma so your mind and the dharma gap gets closer and closer. Okay? I also emphasized in the first class that don't make it so hard on yourself. Make this fun. You know, you don't have to make this as a separate subject matter, like dharma, then the rest of the life. No. The rest of the life is dharma. So you have a little fun with it. Keep it light in here so don't get too contracted. Okay, and then we went through how do I know what's the positive indication that dharma is working for me, right? We talked about that, and Dalai Lama has said that, you know, do it for about a year and then check yourself. Are you feeling calmer? Do you react differently, same situation before how you reacted versus now? You'll have very strong indications that, yes, something has changed. Okay? So we talked about that. And the goal of dharma, this whole thing, everything we talk about, every teaching we go to, what is the whole idea? You want to become a Buddha. You want to become enlightened. You want out of this suffering, life, death cycle, and then all the karmas we create, reborn again, don't know where, how many eons that go by. You want to be blissful and out of this mess. That's the goal of dharma, you wanting to become enlightened. Okay. We talked about precious human rebirth, that many people are born, so human rebirth itself is very precious, but we call it precious. Why? Because your previous selves work very hard that you're in front of, you're listening to dharma. Now you've made a connection so you know what to do next. There are many people right now have no clue, can't even hear the word enlightenment, let alone dharma. Okay, so that's important. We went through a donut analogy. We talked about how I have, this is my money, this is the donut I bought, and I'm going to eat it and enjoy it. We never think about how many people work to get that donut in a finished product, in the way it looks. You know, the farmers that worked on it, and the people who bought it, and the people who made it, and people who present it. So think about how other people are helping you in many ways that you may not realize. Our lives right now are very self-centric, right? It's me, I, and I do it for me, and I really don't care what you think about, you know. That's how we think. But if when you come to dharma, Lamasopa Rinpoche advises us, the first thing in the morning you do is develop bodhicitta, a mind to benefit all other sentient beings. It's a difficult concept, given how we live, it's not easy to develop that. So we talked about starting slow, starting with yourself. Be kind to yourself, maybe to your next to kin or your parents, and then slowly and steadily you will see that it expands. Okay, class two. So that was class one. Class two, we went and laid some groundwork, like a little more structure to it. What do I do? What are my preliminary practices? And we talked about six preparatory practices. Okay? So dedicated space for meditation, making sure it's clean. You vacuum away your obscurations. We can, you know, we talked about that little example of that monk who was dull-minded and how Buddha went and told him to just go and clean the yard and just keep on saying, dirt be gone, stain be gone. And eventually it clicked in him and he was taking dirt from his mind out. And he became quite famous and actually became set as an abbot. So set up the altar. I think you have a pretty good understanding of setting up the altar. It does not have to be elaborate, but there is a little structure to it. You want your dharma books on your left, your image, or your merit field, we call it. We'll talk about that a little bit later. of your practice in the center. If you don't have, you don't have to go buying expensive statues. You can even put your teacher's image there. Okay? And on the right-hand side, stupa. And then it gets a little more complex. If you have a lot of beautiful teachings and stuff, it can go all around. Okay? Just like you see it here. Okay? And we talked about water bowls and all that kind of stuff. So you want to make sure that you have some space. Remember, the altar is what? A sanctuary that you want to go to. A place where you want to go from your humdrum life, go and say, this is where I'm going to develop my mind, make my mind happy. So you want to be, it should be pleasant to you, simple and pleasant. Okay? Another thing, when you offer, make sure you multiply, you expand. Don't be limited to, I'm offering you this bowl. Think of you offering the whole world. What's stopping your mind? Think huge. Offer big. Okay? You always want to do three prostrations. So first one was dedicated space. Second one was obtain all of these things honestly, arrange them beautifully. Number three, sitting in meditation posture, generate mind of refuge and bodhicitta. Refuge is going in refuge. If you take umbrella, you're taking refuge from the rain, right? You're going in umbrella. You're going into refuge of dharma, Buddha, the Buddha dharma and sangha, the three jewels, we call it triple gem. And develop the mind of bodhicitta, this altruistic mind that you want to benefit everybody. Whatever you do, you want to benefit everybody. Just kind of practice that. And once you do that and you sit down with your seven posture, meditation posture, you invoke the merit field. In other words, you kind of bring your mind, bring the Buddha in your presence, like you're now prepared. You're ready to open the book. You prepare. Invoke your teachers. Think about the teachers, if you have any. At least let them come to the front. Visualize them. Like they're talking to you or they're sitting there in the merit field. That's how you want to invoke the merit field. You can start with Shakyamuni Buddha. And I keep on saying this. And again, remember your teachers are like the rays of the sun. If Buddha is your sun, then the rays of the sun are your teachers. So they're no different. They may appear to you in a mundane body, but they're teaching lineage teachings. And that you have the opportunity and the karma to be listening to them. Very powerful. Okay? So think of your teachers and gurus at all times. Then we talked about this. The fifth one was the offering the seven limb prayer and mandala. This is like the nuts and the bolts, right? You want to do prostrations, offering, confessing, rejoicing, and requesting your teacher to stay and teach, and then dedicating. Then you make some humble requests, you know, very powerful. And then you can, again, if you need to, during the day, think about the refuge you took in the morning. It kind of keeps you protected. So we talked about that. And then we touched a little bit about where to focus in meditation. All these books and things you can buy and lam rim, where do I begin? So you kind of give you a little thought about there are different things, but there is ways in lam rim kind of teaches you where to go and what to do. So we talked about that a little bit. It's like peeling the onion. First figure out what is it that you're looking after, set up a structure, and then start to explore a little bit further. Class three. We talked about a multi-pronged approach. It sometimes gets overwhelming for people. I don't know everything. What am I supposed to do? And we said at least incorporate few things. Lama Zopa Rinpoche's advice, one of your readings, right? It talks about in the morning what to do. Develop bodhicitta. First of all, be thankful that you're alive. You wake up and say, thank you, I'm alive. I'm going to have another day. I didn't die last night. That's number one. Develop bodhicitta, that whatever you do today is going to benefit a lot of people. So you develop this compassion in your heart. Then he talks about doing prostrations, which we'll do today, actually. Right? That's the sets of the day. Then we talk about preliminary practices, and I'm going to go through this today with you, some of these things that we've been talking about. So it's like peeling the onions. And then you go to your daily practice, and then you look at lam rim, and he included four things in this multi-pronged approach. One is guru devotion. Then lam rim prayers, and a little bit about emptiness. Okay? So we went through that. What meditations to do in what order, and for most of the class we said start with the lam rim, start with the first, the three scopes in it, the lower scope, the middle scope, and the higher scope. It's like going through high school, but at least the first two really gives you, wakes you up. Precious human rebirth, impermanence, and death. Those two are like, they give you a little shock in your body, like, what is this? And then you really get a realization that that's what it is going to be. This is a possibility, and it's happening. And so when you have that visceral feeling, it kind of then pulls you into understanding, how do I do this now? Okay, so it's very important. Okay, then we talked a little bit about Lama Atisha in 11th century, who he was. We talked about, you know, graduated path of enlightenment, the goal of Buddha Dharma, how to generate an experience. And it's not the quantity, but rather quality. It's not about doing 20 things. It's about doing 5 things properly and making sure you get an experience out of it. Then you'll move on automatically. It's that same tendency saying, oh, I want to know all of these things now. But you're not going to, you have to crawl before you start to get up and walk. So it's not about going into going basic or this is lower than this. It's nothing like that. They all generate great experiences. All you need is a couple of experiences and it will take you, catapult you up. So start nicely so you understand, have a full understanding of how these things are arranged for you. Then you develop your own journey. You talked about a map. You want to go from here to New York, you're going to take a look at where you're going to stop. What are you going to do? Have a map in front of you. Okay, we talked about offering mandala. It's again, what you're offering something to your own Buddha mind. When you offer these things, how would it be when if you are Buddha? So offer the best to your teachers and to Buddha. Okay? And you're making a request again. So any questions on what we covered in the third session? Okay. We also talked about karma, emptiness, and compassion. And in class 4, we talked about protecting your mind a little bit. The good science, the Dharma is soaking in. We talked about how tricky it is to keep your mind protected. It's one thing when you're on the cushion, what happens as soon as you go out? And you gotta change that a little bit. Look at things differently. Relate it to your practice. You know, if you go to a grocery store and you see somebody in a wheelchair, think how precious human rebirth you have, that you are not in that position. Think in those terms. In other words, you are just enhancing your practice. So you see it with a different glasses. Okay? Okay, when we talked about quotes and verses to kind of cut out some sayings from the books or teachings or from Dalai Lama or somebody, something that can really help you. You know, you put it on your refrigerator. Maybe we talked about, you know, have patience in your car. So, you know, you don't lose your temper, you know. Keep a daily diary. Keep a daily book. Write down all the goods and the bads of the day if you want to. That's another way. These are all options. This is not you must do this. There's no such thing there. This is all different people have a different experience, and they need different ways. If you have a habit of writing every night something, this will be a great practice. For people who don't write, you don't want to do that. You may want to just have some cutouts or a picture or a poster somewhere that reminds you every time you look at it. I even talked about some people who like tattoos, right? Never give up. Okay? So it doesn't matter. Whatever helps your mind. We talked about the importance of how people use prayer wheels. There are millions of prayers in it. And when you keep on doing it, the idea is that all these prayers are going everywhere in the world with the wind. That's the idea when you go and turn those wheels out there. That's what's the whole idea behind it. And, of course, always talking about rejoicing in others' merits. When somebody does something good, don't have ill will. Don't feel like, how come it didn't happen to me? Think good. Be rejoiceful that they're happy. That's, again, developing your bodhicitta. That's a tough thing to do. You have to switch it over. Okay? And we talked about a little bit about walking meditation, and we're going to do this after this. We're going to do a little bit of walking meditation. And then we've talked about yoga of eating, how to offer, and how do you visualize, and my favorite, yoga of sleeping. We talked about how to put your head, just like Buddha laid down on his right side, you may visualize yourself in the lap of a Buddha or your teacher. And pass away. And when you get up in the morning, you come off his lap. It's a wonderful feeling. It incorporates refuge. You know, child goes to the mother, right? Or father, they run to them when they need something. Same way, you are telling the teachers to protect you, to help you, to make your mind like theirs, to enlighten you. So it's a very nice little practice, and it's very simple to do, right? There's no complication there. You lay down, and I know I watch TV sometimes when you're laying down, but lately I've been telling my mind, you know, I've been thinking about you all day, my teacher, I'm going to lay down, keep me protected. Great thought. So any questions, what we've covered so far? You have some idea of establishing daily practice, the importance of it, and a little bit of structure. It still goes into little branches. We'll kind of put a summary together at one point, okay? The assessment for the next class, number 6, there are 7 questions. This is the 6th one. What is Lama Zopa Rinpoche's advice to discovering Buddhism students in terms of how to practice in the morning and in the evening? So we covered this very extensively. I just mentioned what to do in the morning. Prostrations, bodhicitta, right? Your preliminary practices. Then the evening you want to do vajrasattva and your prostrations. And then in between sessions, all the things we've been talking about. So that becomes your life style. You can still go do your exercise, you can go shopping. Nobody's saying you gotta put some robes on and sit in the corner and just do this. No. You can incorporate that at your work, when you send an email, think about it, when you are walking around, when you see people, when you're shopping. Make it just the way you think is different. It's not that your activity changes. It's not this or that. It's how you transform your mind. Okay? Enough said about that. So today we have a very few things to cover. There are 3 topics we're going to cover today. But before that, we're going to do a walking meditation. And I'm going to mention with 3 topics. We're going to talk about how to accumulate merits. We're going to define what is merit. We talk about merit field. What is it? So we always talk about what, why, and how. We're going to talk about that a little bit. We're going to talk a little more about purification practices. Okay? And then what do you mean by heartfelt request? Who are you requesting to? What are you requesting? Okay, these are little questions because we all say these things, but want to question it a little bit. So those are the 3 things we're going to cover. And then last half an hour, we're going to do the 35 prostrations to the Buddhas, confession Buddhas. Okay, and I'm going to give you some little background on it. We're going to explain you what it is. And I will right up the front tell you, you do not have to prostrate. You can sit and just listen to it, bow down in your mind. But those who can, it's very helpful. It's great exercise. It opens up your chakras. And what does that even mean? Why are we doing it? We're going to go through that. So you get a little understanding of it. What is it? And why 35? Okay? So any questions? What are we going to do? Okay. So for next 10, maybe 12 minutes, before you do the walking meditation, let me explain you what you're going to do. First, think about where you're going to walk. So get yourself an organized place. Somebody wants to walk here, or 2 people, or 3 people. Somebody wants to walk here. Somebody wants to go. But kind of preparing your mind where you're going to go so that your mind is not preoccupied with hitting the table or the chair or the bookshelf. You kind of know that it's pretty clear. Then what you're going to do is you're going to walk deliberately very slow. You're going to walk very, very slow, okay? So don't, it's not about how you pace. It's just natural, but very slow. And what I want you to think when you're walking, first 1 or 2 times, you're going to be a little uncomfortable because your mind still wants to go, I'm making sure I don't want to run into somebody. So your mind is somewhere else still. Bring it in. And I want you to start thinking, look around at anything you want to and everything you want to and see the impermanence in all of those things. Nothing is permanent. So great experience. Look at yourself. Are you permanent? Think about it. Is this cushion permanent? How did this cushion come to be a cushion? We called it a cushion, piece of cloth, piece of sponge. Somebody made it. Where does the sponge come from? You can think about causes and conditions. But mostly, look at the walls, look at the floor, look at these things, look at the statues, whatever, and I want you to just kind of contemplate, is this permanent? Is anything permanent? And that's where you want to go and eventually bring that mind to yourself. Am I permanent? Always there, or am I changing every single moment? From birth to you die, are we remaining the same? So this gives you a little taste of a couple of things. Physically, you're mindful, but then you're using your mind as you walk around. And it's a great segue to your thinking when you're out there sometimes. See how you think about things. You see the trees changing colors. You see cars going by, people changing, seasons change. All of these things, how things are, how they appear to you. So can we do that? I'm going to say it is 7:32 right now. Let's make it till 7:40. Okay? No, 7:32, that doesn't give you about 10 minutes. So let's make it at least 7:45. Come back at 7:45, find yourself a place, and sincerely walk slowly. First, gauge where you're going to walk. And this is all I want you to do, is think about everything that you see and see if you see something solid, concrete in it. I'd like to hear from you later. So, please. And you don't have to do it. This is just a great practice. You can relax and do meditation. Okay. So that was a different experience, right? It's amazing how time slows down when you're walking and when you're mindful. So it gives you a good taste of, you know, when you're doing your daily activities, you can still keep your mind in your daily activities, but you can see it a little differently, how things exist, how things come to being, how lucky you are that you have this life to even enjoy that. Okay? So it gives you good, and it's a great affirmation on how things really exist. You know, we give this concrete labels and names and branding and all this, right? Our whole environment is full of that. Right? But this gives you a perspective. And please do. This really, meditation is meditation. Remember the word "nom" in Tibetan is to become familiar with. To become familiar with any subject or an object. So in this case, walking just gives you a different perspective. Sitting down, your spine is straight, all your wind channels and everything is aligned. When you're walking, you're doing what you do normally. You're walking in the house, you're walking in the mall. This gives you just a perspective that you could still take your mind and kind of see differently. It takes one aspect of some teaching and it gives you a different perspective. So it's just another way of practicing. There is no right and wrong way that you must sit down to meditate. Not necessarily true. It's a prescribed method because it keeps your spine straight, your wind channels right, so it's an effective way of doing it, and plus you're not moving around to be distracted. But this tells you, you live in the regular world, you do your daily activities, you're walking around, you're driving, but your mind can actually look at some of these things from a different way. So that's the whole experience. And again, the subject was more important to me, more than walking, is, you know, you're being mindful and you're thinking about how things exist. That was the whole idea. Okay? Cool? All right. So I'm going to move through. There's only 3 points to cover today. I'm going to go through them fairly quickly. So at 8 o'clock or so, we can do actually our 35 prostrations. Okay? So again, just to bring to your mind, what is it that we are really doing here? Oh, that was a question. Sorry, I didn't say something wrong. So what is the purpose of what we are doing in this module? Establishing daily practice. Why? We are changing our minds. We are changing our minds. And it's just the way we see things. Remember, eons and eons of dirt that's been built up in our minds, how we think, how we look at things, and you wonder why things are not, why do you have anxiety, why do we have stress, why are you feeling uncomfortable all the time, has many reasons to it, you know. But the idea that if you can get yourself in a happier place and ultimately become enlightened, to be out of this cycle, that's the whole point. Okay, this module is not meant to be very academic. It is really to give you a taste. It is still very serious. This is not a 7-year program, but it gives you very detailed look at how you want to structure your mind. Okay, so give us a good, and the whole idea is it assumes that you will integrate this deeply in your life. Okay, and also it provides a structure, a base. So when you go to the next level of teaching of bodhicitta and emptiness and the integrated practice, which is the 14th module, I believe, last one, this gives you fundamental base. You know, you've established the home, now you can start to decorate it and put your additions on. Okay? Then you can accept it a little bit better because you have fundamentals down. You're not lost. You have this very basic ideas in place. So that's the whole purpose of this. A little bit of quick history, you know, we are called Kadampa lineage. Our name of the center is Kadampa. So what does Kadampa stand for? Anybody know? So, Ka means words, holy words. And Dham is, words, like Buddha's words, and Dham means holy. So it's all about the lineage of holy words. Lama Atisha started Kadampa lineage, and Lama Tsongkhapa brought that tradition over to us. So we are lineage of Kadampas. So they are very well known for getting instructions how they were and then presenting them. Okay? So again, it all culminates into practice. They were so pragmatic about how they taught, what the Buddha said, what are the teachings, and they want to bring it to you in a very certain, in a certain way so that you can take it in your life. Okay? There are four schools, lineage schools. Okay? We are Gelugpa. Anybody knows what are the three others?
Kagyu.
Nyingma. And Sakya. All good, okay? Everything is good. We just happen to be in that lineage. They're very strong in study, and they say that the Gelugs, that what we are, they have yellow hat on them, they call them yellow hat ones, were very known for instructions and teachings, but kind of weak in practice. That's what used to be the word out there. But people have very different experience. If you come under Lama Zopa Rinpoche, Lama Yeshe, or Geshe-la, it's all about practice. You can read all the books you want, but if you're not practicing it, you're not taking it in. And Lama Zopa Rinpoche, you're not going to get do 5 of this and 10 of that. 100,000. It's 50,000, 100,000. And you'll be amazed. You feel pressure in the beginning, but when you're done, it's like, wow, you can do it. Believe me, you can do it. It's how committed you are. Okay? Also, it really prepares you for advanced practices. So a little bit about accumulating merits. So somebody last class asked me, what is a merit field? So I looked it up, found many meanings, but I went to Lama Yeshe archive. I again want to emphasize the fact, when you're reading all of these things, be mindful of who the author is, who's writing it, right? You want to be careful of that because there are many commentaries out there and personal commentaries. But you want to get something that is lineage. So just be mindful of that. So I went to Lama Yeshe archives. It has a great dictionary, by the way, from A to Z. You can look up words. And it says, this is what merit field says. It's also called field of accumulation. Is the visualized or actual holy beings in relation to whom one accumulates merits by going to refuge, making offerings, and so forth, and to whom one prays or makes requests with special purposes. So when you are doing a practice like we did, Shakyamuni Buddha is our merit field. So that is your merit field. You visualize Shakyamuni Buddha, you visualize your teachers, that becomes your merit field. Then if you are doing a practice of Vajrasattva, you see the Vajrasattva, mother and father, that creates a merit field. So whatever you're praying to, that's a merit field. Okay? Look clear? And this is from Lama Yeshe. So then let's define one word. What is a merit? And we use this all the time, creating merits, accumulating credits, merits. What is a merit? So, again, I went to this Lama Yeshe's archive. It is a beneficial and a protective force which accumulates as a result of good deeds, acts, and thoughts. It brings good and agreeable results, determines the quality of next life, and contributes to person's growth towards enlightenment. That's why I keep on bringing the bank balance. This is the real bank balance. When you take this precious human rebirth, you gave up a whole bunch of merits to be here. So you want to continue to build it so your next existence is in a better place. Or developing this positive mindset, developing bodhicitta, establishing daily practice so you can become enlightened, thinking about your teachers and gurus as the rays of the sun and listening to all that lineage teaching as Buddha experienced is for you to become Buddha. Therefore, you need a lot of merits to get a lot of this garbage out. So protective, very protective.
I've also heard it said that it's almost like a positive habit.
Right.
It's a positive habit. And also, if you give away your merit, you really don't give away.
Yeah, correct.
So you can say it in terms of, I give it to somebody else for whatever they happen to need. You're not giving anything away.
You're actually increasing your merit by just giving it away because you're developing bodhicitta. It itself is a merit. So it's a great positive energy. Right? So again, beneficial and protective force. which accumulates as a result of good deeds, acts, and thoughts. So, good. So, purification practice. So think about it. Why do you need purification practice? Okay? So, when you think that things seem hard to understand, you try to visualize and it's nothing but darkness, you just know that there is some obscuration. There is something coming in your way. You try to read and it does not go. A teacher tries to teach you and it's just somehow the mind is like not getting it. Then you kind of know there's a veil out, you know, in front of you and you want to purify. Okay? That's the reason for doing purification practices. So the two hardest realizations, you know, in this teaching is seeing that the guru is Buddha. I keep on saying about the sun rays and the sun. It's very hard for most lay people to see guru as Buddha. And then number two, that all sentient beings have been your mothers. These two concepts they use all the time. It's very hard for this mind to even understand what that means. Okay? We can talk about it after class or in the next couple of classes, these things will come up again. But these are two hardest things. But I again just want to let you know that please think about your teacher and what they're doing. Don't see them just in the body like you and I, but what they're teaching and why you have, after so many lifetimes, are in present of this Dharma in your precious human rebirth, and a beautiful a teacher is teaching you these teachings. Very powerful connection. Okay? Think in those ways. And remember that donut analogy, how all these people are helping you for you to have that donut. It goes on every lifetime. For you to have that cloth on, for you to wear that mala, for you to be sitting in a chair. Many things have taken place for that to happen for your reality. You sort of created your own reality because of your actions, previous actions. So think of that. So everybody here is connected. We all are connected. I mean, science even talks about that. Entire universe is connected. Right? So very hard to recognize that. So if your mind is not going deep enough, you need purification. Making heartfelt requests, we kind of talked about it. Absolutely very important. And that brings to the subject of why do we need a teacher? And I'll tell you, it's very clear in every book you will read from Tsongkhapa on to any other scriptures from Lama Zopa Rinpoche. It says it's a must. You must have a teacher. You know, even Mozart had a teacher, right? Every expert has a teacher. There are some people who have become Buddhas, but you have to realize many lifetimes they have had guidance in their life from a teacher. So you're able to do it. A lot of people think I can go on iPad or look at your computer and I can learn everything. You need guidance from a teacher. These words have so many meanings sometimes and they'll just guide you correctly. They can be your friend. They'll put you on the right track. They're always trying to help you. So think of that. Okay? And that's why Lama Zopa Rinpoche suggests that you do guru yoga as part of your practice. If you also look at Lamrim, guru yoga is very important. And there are paragraphs that you can do. Absolutely important. Yoga means union. And guru or lama means heavy with qualities. Okay? So kind of understand that. So you can have day-to-day guru. You can have your absolute guru. And an absolute guru, day-to-day guru is one that teaches you, kind of guides you. Absolute guru, this is some words I want to say here. Absolute guru is the mind that has attained enlightenment with intention of benefiting others. Just think of that. Not a body, but a mind. This is what you're learning from the guru, and you want you to have that. Right? You want to have the mind that has attained enlightenment with intention of benefiting others. It's the experience, that mind's experience is wisdom and bliss, and its function is to help others. Period. That's that mind, enlightened mind. That's your goal. Bliss, wise wisdom, bliss, and mind that wants to benefit others. You're in total enlightened mindset. And that's what we want. We want that experience. So when you're talking to your teacher, when you're meeting, you almost want to plead, hold on to their toes, please help me get this garbage out of my mind, and so that I can experience that bliss. That's the whole idea. That's why you want to plead to your teacher and want the teacher to be there. Okay? We can't get there, you know why? Because we still can't access it. We have mind. We are intelligent, we think, right? We have mind, but we are not accessing that feel, that omniscience, that bliss, that wisdom. Too many layers in there from many lives. And that's why we are here learning, what can I do today, like establish my daily practice so I can clear this away. Okay? And a couple other ways to accumulate merits. You can help the Dharma centers. You can help your nuns. You can help your teacher. There's so many ways. If you don't have, by generosity, if you don't have, you can give the smallest amount you have but wish it was big. You can offer mandala. You can sometimes sponsor teachers. There's so many other activities. You can help each other out. There are many ways to accumulate this positive credits or merits, right? And purification practice, you already know Vajrasattva, we did it last time. It's one of the most powerful purification practice. It is in our lineage. Two major ones are given, Vajrasattva and the 35 confession Buddhas. There are a couple of others. And there have been even sometimes people can't do it. So sometimes Lama Zopa Rinpoche will offer them to do the diamond cutter or the heart sutra. These are all about emptiness. But purification is not going away. It's no negotiation in our lineage. Must do. If you want to get up and become a Buddha, you must practice. Okay? Finding your teacher. Some of you might not have a teacher. Some of you have a teacher. Just have patience. If you do a heartfelt request, the teacher will come. They've been there for you. And when the time is right, the teacher will come. Just don't think that it's not happening for you. Okay, you would be sitting here unless you were guided. And so don't underestimate the heartfelt request to the teacher. Okay, any questions on those three things? Why we do purification? What is merit? What is the merit field, accumulating merits? And heartfelt requests. And lastly, I want to say before we go into the 35 confession Buddha is, there is a time when all of these things come at you so strongly and you want to, like, you think like, oh my gosh, when am I going to start? What am I going to do? It becomes like almost like you don't want to do it. You lose the joy of doing this. And for that, Lama Yeshe even says, take a vacation, take a break, walk away from it. You know, you don't have to cram all of these things into like two sessions. Go on a pilgrimage, go to some great sites. When you start to meet people, see different views, see different things, you will see how this kind of helps you. You need to get away sometimes. Okay? Just don't overwhelm yourself. Put a structure to it, practice quality, make it light for your light mind, but have conviction in it. Have a little passion in it. That's what is required, quality or quantity. Too much to read. But it's great that you're going through this module. Gives you a good taste of what this is all about. You'll have a structure, and you will see that as you grow, different realizations will happen. That's when it really gets what I call very tasty. Okay? Any questions? So, we're going to do some prostrations. But before we do, I realized when I was learning this, I had all kind of questions. First of all, like I see, so this is the practice here, 35 confession Buddhas. You see this tanka with rows and rows of Buddhas sitting there. So my initial question was like, what 35? I thought there was this one Buddha. Why 35 of them? They have different colors. And then I see a whole bunch of things coming out of this central Buddha. What is all that stuff? So let me just give you some basic understanding of what this is. And I took this from Thupten Chodron's 35 Confession Buddha. So I'm going to read first paragraph so you get a little basic understanding of it. So Lama Zopa Rinpoche says that the main Buddha, the primordial Buddha, and what you have is there are five types of Buddhas. And what they are, each of these five types represent a different aspect of the enlightenment. It's a different aspect of the enlightenment. The enlightenment is just one, but there are different aspects of that. And they are linked to different aggregates, form, feelings, discrimination, and all of the things which you don't need to worry, but just know that it is an enlightenment and there's different aspects to it. That's what they represent. And they've given names to them. Okay? So you will see each one has a different color. And there's a family. One aspect is called Akshobhya, and is blue in color. One is called Vairochana, is white in color. Then you see Ratnasambhava, he's yellow in color. You see Amoghadishi, that is like green in color, and Amitabha, which is red in color. Okay? When you're praying, sometimes they also visualize them in a mandala, Vairochana in the center, Ratnasambhava, Amoghadishi, and the west side is Amitabha and Akshobhya. They also visualize that. For you not to get confused, just know that there are five aspects of the enlightened mind. That's all you need to know. So then each one of them have certain aspects. These were all Buddhas who had said that when somebody does confession to them or prays to them, they will take care of all your obscuration. And there's a lot of commentary. And I would suggest to you, if you are seriously considering doing this, which is suggested by Lama Zopa Rinpoche, that you invest in this little book and preliminary practice of prostration. It tells you in the back all what you want to know. It tells you how to visualize, what it means, absolutely beautiful. Okay? For those who just want to do it first, okay, second thing you're going to find is, I want you to know, Lama Zopa Rinpoche says if you can, you should bow down to each of those Buddhas 35 times, right? So minimum. That's what he says. But not everybody can do it. And the way he does it, you'll be lucky if you can get 10 of them, 10 prostrations done. Because he goes very fast. Okay? So it's not necessary for right now. In your own practice, I find myself listening to a tape. I have it on my iPad. I put it up and it goes 3 times. It allows me to do a great prostration. Then another 3 times, another prostration. It works for me. Some people like it for everyone. Some people take it even longer. We're going to go through the prostrations quickly today. But before we do that, I want you to open your volume 1 to page, I think it's 39. Yep, page 39. Just remember that one. Open your golden prayer book, which is behind each of your chairs. So remember, we said anything we start with the motivation. So this is going to take us a half an hour, guys. And if you need to leave, and if it takes more than 8:30, if you have to leave, please feel free to leave. I just want you to go through this before. So first, let's talk about motivation. I'm going to read it. You also read it by yourself there. The purpose of my life is to be free, is to free the numberless sentient beings who are the source of all my past, present, and future happiness, temporary as well as ultimate happiness, including all the realizations of the path, liberation from samsara and enlightenment, from all the karma. In order to do this, I must achieve full enlightenment. Therefore, I need to actualize this path. Therefore, I need to purify the defilements. If I were now born in hell, it would be so unbearable. Even one tiny fire spark on my body is hundreds of thousands of times hotter than the whole entire fire energy in this world. It is so unbearable that experiencing it for even an instant is like suffering from many eons. I have created numberless causes to be born in the hell realms by creating the 10 non-virtuous actions countless times in this and beginless past lives. I have created numberless causes to be born in the hell realms by breaking the Pratimoksha vows, by breaking the Bodhisattva vows, and by breaking the Tantric vows countless times in this and beginless past lives. And I have created numberless causes to be born in the hells by creating the heaviest negative karma in relationship with the holy virtuous friend, which includes harming the holy body, breaking the advice, disturbing the holy mind, having non-devotional thoughts arising heresy and anger, which produces the greatest obstacles to achieve realizations and creates great suffering. Every single one of these negative actions has four suffering results. The ripening result, a rebirth in a role, that means a rebirth in a lower realms. The possessed result, the type of environment I'm born into when again a human being. The result similar to the cause in my experience. And the worst one of the result similar to the cause of my actions, which means that again and again, I'm driven to create the same negative actions in the future. And so again and again, I have to experience the four suffering results. In this way, samsara has no end. Not only that, but my karma increases. So from even the smallest negative action can come a huge suffering results. And karma is definite to be experienced. So every negative action I have created will definitely bring its result, no matter how long it takes, until it's purified. So from one negative karma, I have to experience the result over and over again for so many hundreds of lifetimes. Understanding this, how can I stand to live life without purifying myself and getting rid of these negative karmas, just as I would try to get rid of a deadly poison in my body? Not only that, but I'm going to die, and the death can come even today, any moment. Therefore, I must purify all my negative actions right this second. In order to do that, I'm going to do these prostrations with the practice of confessing downfalls, and I'm going to do this so that I can develop myself in order to work for the happiness of all sentient beings. So visualization. Okay, I can read it if you want to close your eyes and kind of visualize it. That's fine. Or you can read it in your own mind. So visualizing the space in front of you, your guru, in the aspect of Shakyamuni Buddha, with thousand-armed Chandrasekhar at his heart. At the heart of the thousand-armed Chandrasekhar is a syllable, Hri. And from these beams, beams of light emanate, forming six rows in the spaces below. At the end of each beam is a throne supported by elephants and adorned with pearls. On each throne is seated a Buddha. In the first row are six Buddhas, blue in color and in the aspect of Akshobhya, with the exception of the third Buddha, King of Lord of Nagas, who has blue-colored body but a white head. In the second row, there are seven Buddhas, white in color and in the aspect of Vairochana. In the third row are seven Buddhas, yellow in color, in the aspect of Ratnasambhava. In the fourth row are seven Buddhas, red in color, and in the aspect of Amitabha. In the fifth row, there are seven Buddhas, green in color, and in the aspect of Amoghadishi. These are 35 confession Buddhas. Each one is in the posture of that particular type of Buddha or Dhyani Buddha. In the final row are the medicine Buddhas. Think that each one of these Buddhas is the embodiment of all three times, 10 directions of Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, and all statues, stupas, and all scriptures. Think they embody all holy objects whose essence is the Guru. Have complete faith that each one of has the power to purify all negative karmas and imprints accumulated since beginless time. Now imagine that you emanate numberless bodies that as you prostrate, all these bodies prostrate along with you from all directions, covering every atom of this earth. So now we'll recite the increasing mantras, refuge, and then we'll do confession. So you want to start? So guys, before we do it, you may stand up and bow down. You can do full prostration, half prostration. If you can't do it, do as much as you can. And if you don't feel like doing prostrations, you may sit and just bow down. But think of every... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, 2 seconds, we have at least two new people that have probably gotten rid of prostration.
Okay, who?
How did
Okay, so I'll have to take these headphones off.
Yeah. Or I can
When you're doing a prostration, remember one thing. You're paying homage to the teachings. You're showing respect to the teachers, right? And it humbles your pride. This is not about bowing down to somebody. This is not that the ego mind that says, oh, I don't bow to anybody. That's not the idea here. It is a very humble homage to all the teachers, and look what you're learning, and you want to purify yourself. So that's why you prostrate. If you're not able to prostrate, you can prostrate in your mind. Okay? You can do full prostration like that, and if you don't feel like you can do them, you can do half, like we do in the beginning of the class. That's the half prostration. Okay? For those of us that want to sit and do it, you can do the three and just bow down. Body, speech, and mind, I bow. Body, speech, and mind, I bow to this Buddha. Body, speech, and mind, I bow to that Buddha, like that. Okay? And what you're doing is you'll see, once you understand it. And I also, before we start, I want you to know, some people are going to say, how do you remember these? There are different ways to practice, different ways to memorize. All I can say, for me, audio works. Some people actually make a big poster, and they write those names down, and then you read one, and then do your prostrations. Then you read another one, you do your prostrations. Some people break them down into the first seven, second seven, third seven, so you remember in little chunks. And then as soon as the first sentence begins, you know which row you are in. So you do work in your own ways, but in the end, you want to be able to do this. Lama Zopa Rinpoche says, every morning and every evening. So this is a very powerful practice, okay? So with that, I'm going to get up and I'm going to do some too, so...
Om Namo Manjushriye, Namo Sushriye, Namo Uttamashriye Soha. Om Namo Manjushriye, Namo Sushriye, Namo Uttamashriye Soha. Om Namo Manjushriye, Namo Sushriye, Namo Uttamashriye Soha. I, throughout all times, take refuge in the Guru, I take refuge in the Buddha, I take refuge in the Dharma, I take refuge in the Sangha. I, throughout all times, take refuge in the Guru, I take refuge in the Buddha, I take refuge in the Dharma, I take refuge in the Sangha. I, throughout all times, take refuge in the Guru, I take refuge in the Buddha, I take refuge in the Dharma, I take refuge in the Sangha. To the Founder, Bhagavan, Tathagata, Arahant, Perfectly Completed Buddha, Glorious Conqueror, Shakyamuni Buddha. To the Founder, Bhagavan, Tathagata, Arahant, Perfectly Completed Buddha, Glorious Conqueror, Shakyamuni Buddha. To the Founder, Bhagavan, Tathagata, Arahant, Perfectly Completed Buddha, Glorious Conqueror, Shakyamuni Buddha, I prostrate. To the Tathagata thoroughly destroying with Vajra essence, to the Tathagata thoroughly destroying with Vajra essence, to the Tathagata thoroughly destroying with Vajra essence, I prostrate. To Tathagata radiant jewel, to Tathagata radiant jewel, to Tathagata radiant jewel, I prostrate. To Tathagata king, lord of the Nagas, to Tathagata king, lord of the Nagas, to Tathagata king, lord of the Nagas, I prostrate. To Tathagata army of heroes, to Tathagata army of heroes, to Tathagata army of heroes, I prostrate. To Tathagata delighted hero, to Tathagata delighted hero, to Tathagata delighted hero, I prostrate. To Tathagata jewel fire, to Tathagata jewel fire, to Tathagata jewel fire, I prostrate. To Tathagata jewel moonlight, to Tathagata jewel moonlight, to Tathagata jewel moonlight, I prostrate. To Tathagata meaningful to see, to Tathagata meaningful to see, to Tathagata meaningful to see, I prostrate. To Tathagata jewel moon, to Tathagata jewel moon, to Tathagata jewel moon, I prostrate. To Tathagata stainless one, to Tathagata stainless one, to Tathagata stainless one, I prostrate. To Tathagata bestowed with courage, to Tathagata bestowed with courage, to Tathagata bestowed with courage, I prostrate. To Tathagata pure one, to Tathagata pure one, to Tathagata pure one, I prostrate. To Tathagata bestowed with purity, to Tathagata bestowed with purity, to Tathagata bestowed with purity, I prostrate. To Tathagata water god, to Tathagata water god, to Tathagata water god, I prostrate. to Tathagata deity of the water god, to Tathagata deity of the water god, to Tathagata deity of the water god, I prostrate. To Tathagata glorious goodness, to Tathagata glorious goodness, to Tathagata glorious goodness, I prostrate. To Tathagata glorious sandalwood, to Tathagata glorious sandalwood, to Tathagata glorious sandalwood, I prostrate. To Tathagata infinite splendor, to Tathagata infinite splendor, to Tathagata infinite splendor, I prostrate. To Tathagata glorious light, to Tathagata glorious light, to Tathagata glorious light, I prostrate. To Tathagata sorrowless glory, to Tathagata sorrowless glory, to Tathagata sorrowless glory, I prostrate. To Tathagata son of non-craving, to Tathagata son of non-craving, to Tathagata son of non-craving, I prostrate. To Tathagata glorious flower, to Tathagata glorious flower, to Tathagata glorious flower, I prostrate. To Tathagata pure light rays, clearly knowing by play, to Tathagata pure light rays, clearly knowing by play, to Tathagata pure light rays, clearly knowing by play, I prostrate. To Tathagata lotus light rays, clearly knowing by play, to Tathagata lotus light rays, clearly knowing by play, to Tathagata lotus light rays, clearly knowing by play, I prostrate. To Tathagata glorious wealth, to Tathagata glorious wealth, to Tathagata glorious wealth, I prostrate. To Tathagata glorious mindfulness, to Tathagata glorious mindfulness, to Tathagata glorious mindfulness, I prostrate. To Tathagata glorious name widely renowned, to Tathagata glorious name widely renowned, to Tathagata glorious name widely renowned, I prostrate. To Tathagata king holding the victory banner of foremost power, to Tathagata king holding the victory banner of foremost power, to Tathagata king holding the victory banner of foremost power, I prostrate. To Tathagata glorious one totally subduing, to Tathagata glorious one totally subduing, to Tathagata glorious one totally subduing, I prostrate. To Tathagata utterly victorious in battle, to Tathagata utterly victorious in battle, to Tathagata utterly victorious in battle, I prostrate. To Tathagata glorious transcendence through subduing, to Tathagata glorious transcendence through subduing, to Tathagata glorious transcendence through subduing, I prostrate. To Tathagata glorious manifestations illuminating all, to Tathagata glorious manifestations illuminating all, to Tathagata glorious manifestations illuminating all, I prostrate. To Tathagata all-subduing jewel lotus, to Tathagata all-subduing jewel lotus, to Tathagata all-subduing jewel lotus, I prostrate. To Tathagata Arhant, perfectly completed Buddha, king of the Lord of Mountains, firmly seated on jewel and lotus, to Tathagata Arhant, perfectly completed Buddha, king of the Lord of Mountains, firmly seated on jewel and lotus. To Tathagata Arhant, perfectly completed Buddha, king of the Lord of Mountains, firmly seated on jewel and lotus, I prostrate. To Bhagavan, Tathagata Arhant, perfectly completed Buddha, renowned, glorious king of excellent signs, I prostrate. To Bhagavan, Tathagata Arhant, perfectly completed Buddha, king of melodious sound, brilliant radiance of skill, adorned with jewels, moon, and lotus, I prostrate. To Bhagavan, Tathagata Arhant, perfectly completed Buddha, stainless excellent gold, illuminating jewel, who accomplishes all conduct, I prostrate. To Bhagavan, Tathagata Arhant, perfectly completed Buddha, glorious supreme one, free from sorrow, I prostrate. To Bhagavan, Tathagata Arhant, perfectly completed Buddha, melodious ocean of proclaimed Dharma, I prostrate. To Bhagavan, Tathagata Arhant, perfectly completed Buddha, clearly knowing by the play of supreme wisdom of an ocean of Dharma, I prostrate. To Bhagavan, Tathagata Arhant, perfectly completed Buddha, medicine guru, king of lapis lazuli light, I prostrate. All you 35 Buddhas and others, as many Tathagatas, Arhants, perfectly completed Buddhas, as there are existing, sustaining and residing in all the world systems of the 10 directions, all you Buddha Bhagavans, please pay attention to me. In this life and in all the states of rebirth in which I have circled in samsara throughout beginningless lives, whatever negative actions I have created, made others create, or rejoiced in the creation of, whatever possessions of stupas, possessions of the Sangha, or possessions of the Sangha of the 10 directions that I have appropriated, made others appropriate, or rejoiced in the appropriation of, whichever among the 5 actions of immediate retribution I have done, caused to be done, or rejoiced in the doing of, whichever paths of the 10 non-virtuous actions I have engaged in, caused others to engage in, or rejoiced in the engaging in, whatever I have created, being obscured by these karmas, causes me and sentient beings to be born in the hell realms, in the animal realm, and in the preta realm, in irreligious countries as barbarians or as long-life gods, with imperfect faculties holding wrong views or not being pleased with Buddha's descent. In the presence of the Buddha, Bhagavans, who are transcendental wisdom, who are eyes, who are witnesses, who are valid, and who see with omniscient consciousness, I am admitting and confessing all these negativities. I will not conceal them nor hide them, and from now on in the future I will abstain and refrain from committing them again. O Buddha Bhagavans, please pay attention to me. In this life and in all other states of rebirth in which I have circled in samsara throughout beginningless lives, whatever roots of virtue I have created by generosity, even as little as giving just one mouthful of food to a being born in the animal realm, whatever roots of virtue I have created by guarding morality, whatever roots of virtue I have created by following pure conduct, whatever roots of virtue I have created by fully ripening sentient beings, whatever roots of virtue I have created by generating bodhicitta, and whatever roots of virtue I have created by my unsurpassed transcendental wisdom. All these assembled and gathered, combined together, I fully dedicate to the unsurpassed, the unexcelled, that higher than the high, that superior to the superior. Thus I completely dedicate to the highest, perfectly complete enlightenment. Just as the previous Buddha Bhagavans have fully dedicated, just as the future Buddha Bhagavans will fully dedicate, and just as the presently abiding Buddha Bhagavans are fully dedicating, like that too, I too dedicate fully. I confess all negativities individually. I rejoice in all the merits. I urge and implore all Buddhas to grant my request. May I receive the highest, most sublime, transcendental wisdom. To the conquerors, the best of humans, those who are living in the present time, those who have lived in the past, and those who will likewise come, to all those who have qualities as vast as an infinite ocean, with hands folded, I approach for refuge.
So that was doing confessions. It's great. In the morning, especially, it opens up your chakras really good. If you're thinking in those ways physically, but believe me, there's a lot of power in this. Initially, when you listen to all these words, they may not mean a lot, but I would, you know, encourage you to read. And since it's advised by Lama Zopa Rinpoche and our teachers, and it's very sincerely requested that we do it, you'll see the benefit of it. And once you understand what each of those aspects of Buddha represent and how they help cure or purify you, I should say not cure, but purify your karmas, you will see the difference. And it will develop positive energy in you, tremendous compassion also. You'll be amazed what you get when you start doing this. Okay? So, of course, it's just a little taste of it. This was a little fast. You can take your time or you can practice your visualization first, do your prostration, then do the confession at the end, and then dedicate.
Just one question. Do you know where everyone can get a copy of Venerable Rupiah saying this?
No, this was something, it's in your prayer book.
The recording is from a CD I have from a really long time ago, but I will check and see if I can find it anywhere.
I can find out, we purchased the one from FBMT, the Confession to 35 Buddhas. It has.
I was just wondering if there's one that they can legitimately download and use.
Yeah, well, I purchased mine because it's very nicely done.
If you get the MP3 download off of FBMT for the daily prayer book,
right.
It's in there in both Tibetan and English.
Yes, it is. I have that. That's how I think I have gotten mine. And it's really nicely done. And it's sung by Australian nun. Very nicely done. Very nicely paced. It even contains Geshe-la doing in Tibetan. So our own Geshe-la. So it's a wonderful practice. Okay? Very quickly, I just wanted to... But anyways, you have it in your preliminary practices, so feel free to read them, understand them. And if you are sincerely wanting to know what all of these things mean and how to do it, and it is in this book, okay? And it's called Preliminary Practice of Prostrations. Believe it or not, it was really developed for discovering Buddhism students. This and the, I'm not trying to, say you should buy all of these books. I'm just saying if you're serious and if you're curious to know more, This is another one, Vajrasattva. The preliminary practice of it answers all questions, has four different Vajrasattva practice, includes the one with the short booklet, the short Vajrasattva practice. It has all, it is for people who have taken initiation and want to do tantric practice, or for people who haven't, and it gives you the meaning, and it tells you when to do it, how to do it, and what does it mean, and gets into real details at the end if you are curious to know what is this all about. These two practices, the 30 prostrations and Vajrasattva, are something that I would say is a, you should invest in it, or at least take your time to invest in it, yourself in it. Okay, any questions on those two practices? Any questions on what we did today? Just to summarize, did a little walking meditation, had a great motivation today, and then we talked about what it is to accumulate merits. We talked a little bit about what Kadampa meant and the four traditions, that lineage we have. We talked about the need for having a teacher, right, and understanding why we do purification practice, and in the end, the importance of the heartfelt request from your teacher. And we ended by saying, make sure to keep everything in balance. When it gets too much, you want to take a little break. Just do little, but do quality, and kind of get your roadmap put together. And then we did the 35 Confession Buddha. Okay? So you have now seen Vajrasattva practice, the 35 Buddha confession practice. We've all had the practice of Shakyamuni Buddha with refuge, with Lamrim. So you're getting a little bit of understanding of how these meditations are done. Eric, you have a question? All right. So, good?
I have the link, and I'll put it on our page with all our information to find the CD and MP3, both, either one.
Okay. And I think it's 8:32. I just have a small little thing. I was handed this evening to say, if you can please read this. So I'm going to go through this today. Again, this is our appeal time, so we are all reading this to every class. So it just says it will take 1 or 2 minutes. So what is an annual appeal? A quick look into our finances. It takes $225,000 to run this center each year. It all comes from donations from people just like you. About $78,000 each year is raised from donations towards pujas, visiting teachers, retreats, and class donations. The other $177,000 we try to raise during our annual appeal. Whatever doesn't come in by January 31st will show up as fundraisers for 2018. There's a new member challenge. There's an exciting challenge going on for the month of December. A group of members that have been around a while have generously offered $2,000 to ignite new members to join the journey. We have around 120 new members from the last 2.5 years, and about 20 of you already support the center monthly or by one-time gifts. So thank you. They are challenging 20 more of you to sign on to give monthly or one-time gifts to the center. Then we receive their offerings of $2,000. If you have any questions, you can ask them, the center manager, Jill Marie. If you're here, you also get one of those awesome new mugs. And she gave me one to say, hey, show it to people. So this is the mug. And it's really nice. It says the present is that elusive moment between what no longer exists and what has not yet happened, His Holiness Dalai Lama, 2018, on the journey, Kadampa Center. It's a very nice little mug. Unprecedented challenge. Now I have a very special announcement. How many of you read the email about our special $5,000 pledge? Has anybody heard about that? Okay. This is truly unprecedented event for our center. Glenn and Cindy Dawson have generously presented us with a powerful challenge. They will give us extra $5,000 above their existing gifts if we can find three other people who will join them in giving $5,000. I hear a combination of gifts may be accepted. The one caveat is this needs to be above and beyond their giving as well. Wow, this will mean $20,000 for Kadampa Center. Glenn has told us Gary's talk moved him 2 Sundays ago, and he and Cindy decided they wanted center to continue to thrive for many years. Thank you, Gary. That's Gary right there. They also understand that without our LOP retreat 2018, our budget will have a deficit of about $37,000. They hope this challenge will help close the gap in our budget. And I just, from my personal experience, it's very hard to ask people because we do everything free here. We don't say for this class pay this or do that. We don't do that. That's been a miracle in itself that we've been able to sustain this place with these teachings of our Geshe La and all the holy teachers that come here. Lama Zopa Rinpoche, Kensho Rinpoche is coming, Venerable Rubina, Keshi Sangpo's teaching, and all of our nuns. If you think about it, I don't know how you're going to, wealth of knowledge that has been presented here and the minds that have been changed in a positive direction is immense. To me, it has changed my life completely. So I can only tell you, I don't even know what to say. There are just wonderful people. Believe me, there are some people who sit quietly here. They don't say a word, but tremendous wealth of knowledge, just wonderful human beings, and they impact many, many people. And I just wish from my heart this Kadampa Center continues to just flourish, grow, so we can get Dalai Lama to come here and we have more teachers to come here and it just becomes bigger and better and we can continue to reach. So I, again, thank you for everybody's time. Anybody has any other things? Patty, would you like to say a word? Okay, thank you. All right. So any questions for what we did? So next class is our last class. Okay, and so we're going to put an entire summary together, and before you go, I have something to give you so you can think about this now. So what you're going to, what you will see is when I took DB, Establishing Daily Practice, many, many years ago, the teacher said, this is what I do, Hemant. You know, it kind of gives you a structure of what to do. And he says, look, I don't have a lot of time, so at least I go through this as my daily practice, and then I do a little bit of reading, and then I do my prostrations. But, you know, a lot of people here sit down and say, well, we talk about this and we talk about that. What is that structure look like? And if you even open up your golden prayer book, you will see the same things in there. How you take a refuge, how you do your four immeasurables, how you do your seven limb prayers, how do you offer your mandala? This repeats for every merit field. Okay? So in short, this applies to any merit field. If you're doing Tara Puja, Vajrasattva prayers, whatever, you will see the same things happen. You take refuge, then you do your four immeasurables, seven limb prayers, you know, and then, of course, motivation and dedication at the end. But it's a very nice little daily practice book. This is for Lama Tsongkhapa. Okay, so you can see how it's nicely done, and it kind of goes through just about everything we've talked about so far. So maybe it's at least a little structure to your daily practice. Question? Anybody has a question? I really appreciate it. We went over today a little bit, so I apologize for that. Thank you for your patience. Thank you.